Hello, everybody. Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. And once again, I have Meredith Locker with me. If you're watching this video anywhere except calbanyan.com, you better go there right now, because right below this video, right down there, you know, we got additional text information, links, and graphics that just make this a much more, I don't know, useful, fully more informative piece of video for you. Let me tell you about Meredith. Meredith Locker, a one percenter among the best of the best in the profession, located in Los Angeles. And let me tell you, if I had a friend or relative in Los Angeles that could use a little bit of help, and let me tell you what, I think just about everybody in Los Angeles could use a little bit of help from hypnosis and hypnotherapy, maybe some self-hypnosis, I'd send them to Meredith Locker. She's got a master's degree in psychology, but that's not what makes her the best hypnotist in the world. What it is her caring about clients and her willing to go far beyond psychological training and learn what really, really works. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing great, Cal. Thank you so much. And don't go knocking my Los Angelians. I love my people.
Hey, I'm from Los Angeles.
Wow, I bet a lot of people don't know that,
right? Explains a lot. I was born in L.A. County General Hospital, but that's the long story.
Okay. Well, I love Los Angeles. And you know what, though? The fact is that you're right, because just about anybody anywhere could benefit from what you and I do. That's the truth. And I'm not quite sure if you guys realize, but Cal Banyan is the person who developed the most advanced, the most systematic process used in hypnosis today. It's the one I use. It's called Five Path. He once at one time worked as a psychologist. He does have a master's in psychology, as I do, and he took that information, took some of the best of hypnosis, and created a systematized process that I use with every single client. And everybody in the world could benefit from it. He brought us Seventh Path Self-Hypnosis. He brought us many books. He's bringing us these podcasts week in and week out. He teaches the top of the profession. And gosh, if you guys don't know more about Cal Banyan, you should probably look into it, because he's just full of surprises all the time. Who knew he was born in Los Angeles?
Yes, that's one of my deep, dark secrets that I guess isn't so secret anymore.
Nope. Cat is out of the bag.
I want to put in another. I tell you what, I don't get paid for doing this. I'm doing this because I care about you guys. National Guild of Hypnotists. Solid Gold Weekend. It's going to be in California this time. And you know what? You want to be there. It's going to be so much fun. Not only are they going to have some of the best and highly most respected people in the profession there, including Cal Banyan, Tony DeMarco, Marilyn Gordon, Marx Howell, Gerald Kine, Debbie Livingston, of course, Dr. Dwight Damon, the president of the National Guild of Hypnotists, one of my good buddies here, Don Motton, David Quigley, Richard Sutphen, Angela and Tim Zimmerman, Sierra, and I don't really know them very well. There are a few people on there that I don't know. And then the ever popular young John Weir, and there's a whole bunch of good topics. Be there. And not, this is a very good reason to be there, but the rest of it is so you can hang out with me and the other people are going to be there. It's going to be a fun time. And you Five Pathers, it should be required. All right, that's it. What's happening, Meredith?
Yay! Well, I'm really excited about something that I have brewing. If you haven't watched the last two episodes, please go ahead and stop this recording now and go watch them, because you will need that information in order to understand what we're talking about now, because this is part of a series. And so go back to episode 195. If you've already watched that, watch 196. And this episode indeed follows that. But something I do talk about in those, and I'm going to remind you once again right now, just in case you do watch this first and you're one of those rebels who's trying to do it backwards, I am collecting what if questions. And so Cal did this amazing externship program, the Banyan Online Supervision Library. What does BOSLM stand for again, Cal?
BOSLM. Banyan Online Supervision something.
That's the one I was stumped on.
I have it written down here somewhere.
That's all right. So it's great. And my favorite volume of all the volumes is
Meetings. Banyan Online Supervision Meetings.
Meetings. Dun, 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 dun. So, yes, he did a series of meetings. He decided that, you know, gosh, there's a lot of people who can't benefit by, you know, my advanced guidance, you know, answering all the questions that kind of come after you take the class. It's all the information that he doesn't have time to cover in class. And so he did this series of meetings that were recorded, and he now sells as a package. And he did a volume on the what ifs, and he did 116 what ifs. And can you believe it? What we do can be so interesting and so versatile and variable and complicated that there are even more what ifs. I know I've come up with some that weren't covered there. L. Ron has. I'm sure you have too. So we're going to cover any what ifs that come in that are not already covered in the Bolsom series. So right down there is a listing that has all of the what ifs that were already covered. And as long as it's not already on that list and covered there, then, you know, we'll take any good and valuable question. So email those to me, Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com, or the best other place to put your questions is on the ourhypnospace.com Ask Cal group. Cal, do you have any other you know, announcements before we get started with the bulk of this podcast?
I think I'm ready to go.
Let's do it. All right. So we've been talking about forgiveness of others, which is phase three in the five path process. And, you know, we're getting into talking about a lot of different issues surrounding and involving the forgiveness of others work. Occasionally, these issues or these questions do kind of dip into other areas, you know, like age regression or what have you. But for the most part, we're centering and focused on forgiveness of others. So in the last episode, we talked about kind of those cases where there doesn't seem to be any anger that is obvious or that comes up in the age regression work. And so if that happens, do you do forgiveness of others? And the answer was absolutely every single time. And so watch that for that. But we had there was another posting not that long ago on our Five Path Yahoo group that was along the same lines, but it gets into a little bit of a different issue. And so I want to share that with you and have Cal speak to that a little bit. I think it'll be educational for you guys. And then we'll get into some other questions about forgiveness of others work. So this was posted recently. I'm a little confused as to what to do with my next client. The client suffers from panic attacks when in a car, as a passenger, or when in a plane. We did regression twice, and they don't say why they did regression twice. I kind of assume because the symptoms were still occurring, and so they did it again. The second session is, or third session is my assumption. But each of these two times that they did the regression work, this hypnotherapist says that the client regressed to the same initial sensitizing event. During both regressions, the client was the only one involved in the initial sensitizing event, I guess. Basically, the initial sensitizing event was him in his bedroom alone looking at the TV and being scared. The TV was turned off and it looked like a scary UFO. It looked like some sort of a Martian or a UFO. She kind of mentions it differently in two different posts. He did not express the feelings while experiencing the initial sensitizing event, so he didn't express the fear in any prominent way, as I gather what she's saying. And they did informed child technique on that experience and then went through all of the subsequent sensitizing events and also did age progression into the future in a car and in a plane, and he was feeling calm and secure. And now initially this was asked, as no anger was involved, should I still do forgiveness of others? And as we've already answered, the answer is yes. But this actually brings up kind of a different point that we thought we should go ahead and cover. So that he was 3 years old at the initial sensitizing event. There, looking at the TV, it looks like a Martian, feeling scared, feeling it in his whole body. He says he can't speak or run and he is frozen. And then the most important thing is that after doing informed child technique and running through the other SSEs, between sessions, the client still felt the fear. And so Cal, do you want to speak at all to that?
Okay. One of the things about answering these questions is we only sometimes are really in the tip of the iceberg. We weren't in the chair. And I just want to say, in a way, it's not fair that we kind of play the, you know, backseat hypnotherapist and try to second guess the person. So, you know, I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings as I go through this. So, yes, everything we said last episode about, of course, we would go on to do forgiveness of others applies here. And so to me, this becomes more of a age regression question. And so basically, if the person is still feeling the fear, then, as I said in last episode, do not believe your clients with regard to the cause of the feeling. And I think the client has this stuck in their head that this is the cause of the feeling. So there's a number of things you can do. So I suspect that this seeing the TV and making the child think that it's like a Martian or something is not the ISE. It is the symptom-producing event. As a matter of fact, for all the times that I've worked on fears and phobias, almost every single time when the fear became attached to the object of fear, you know, for it could be fear of dogs, fear of balloons, fear of clowns, fear of heights, fear of being in a car, whatever it is, the fear pre-existed that time. It's the first time they became afraid of this object of their fear or situation of their fear, that's the symptom-producing event. And so as I'm listening to this, a lot of ideas are coming to my mind. One is, there's this feeling of being frozen, can't run. I would really think about, you know, that also might be something worth affect bridging off of back, because it is fear, and continue to go back. Another thing that I would do is, I'm wondering if this person is doing all the things that you really need to do to validate an ISE. Let me give you a few of them. One is, when you take them back to this early event, you ask them the feeling is familiar or new. If they say it's familiar, well, then obviously if it's familiar, there was a previous event, so it's not the ISC. But if they say it's new, then that becomes one bit of evidence that the situation is an ISE, initial sensitizing event, where it began. Now, what we want to do then is move just before it, could be just minutes before it, and see if the fear exists in any form. It could be a smaller magnitude. And in this case, I might ask the child, I say, let's go a few minutes before this ever happened. 3, 2, 1. Do you feel safe? Do you feel secure? How do you feel about Martians? Because there might be something connected to that, you know. If before the event they think, oh, Martians are cool, I'd like to meet a Martian, well, then, okay, then that's probably not associated with the problem. But if they go, oh, Martians are terrible, they want to eat you, or something like that, well, then, aha, so now we have a lead on a emotion that we can continue to regress off of. So one of the things we do, as I said before, is we want to go before the event and see if the fear exists. If it does, then that's not the ISC. You need to go back further. Then another thing we can do is, we have adult inform the child what he or she needs to hear so they can get through without being negatively affected by it, and in this case, attaching fear to situations. Does the child readily and easily accept that information from grown-up? They should, if it's before the ISE. But if they start going like, I don't know, I don't know if that's safe, I don't know, and they don't believe grown-up, or there's any resistance to at all to what grown-up is saying, that means that you're not before the ISE, and that you have them focus on that, I don't know, I'm not sure I can believe you, and continue following back, because that inability to believe, that is fear. I'm afraid, I cannot believe you, is what they're saying. And so I would continue to regress on that fear. So that's another way that we validate the ISE. First, they say that it's new. Second, we go before the ISE and make sure the feeling doesn't exist. Third, we give them the information, and the child in the before the ISC should readily accept it. If they don't, then we're not before ISC. And then four, once they've got that information, they should easily go through the ISC without being affected by it. There's a few more others, but those are the most important ones with regard to this question. So I get all that done, and I would get that ISC. And of course, after that has been either validated, and of course, we're not going to validate the fear of Martians. I mean, there's, you know, most people agree that there's not people from Mars that are going to hurt anyone here in the world. And so we're not going to be validating the fear. However, if we go to the ISC and pre this fear of Martian type thing, and something is going on that they should be afraid of, then to whatever degree that it's based in reality, we validate it, and to whatever degree it's not, we neutralize it by bringing back the grown-up to do the informed child work. And then, of course, we'll run them through the SSEs. Let me grab my chart here. So what were we doing? We started off with my client. We went back. In this chart, it says 40. That's like for now. Then we go back to an SSE, say, for example, 20, then 10, then 5. And then in this case, in this chart, it says 3. We do the informed child work, and we do that before ISC. And then we go through the SSEs, making sure that the change that happened in the ISC continues. And then over here in this area right here, we've got future self, and that's where we do some age progression work, and we can take them into their probable future where they can experience feeling safe and secure in those situations. And then we look at the clock and we say to ourselves, do we have time to go on to forgiveness of others? Because we're going to find out when we really get the ISC, guess what? And if not just in the ISC, then in the SSEs, someone from the perception of the child has done them wrong, and there's anger, and we want to neutralize it. We want to cut those cords, that emotional cord, with that old problem, whatever it is. How's that, Meredith?
Perfect. I love it. And I'm going to go ahead and reference right now some previous podcasts that you might want to go back to as you are kind of beefing up your knowledge on these topics. As far as forgiveness of others work goes, and kind of segueing into some of this like age regression versus moving on to forgiveness of others work, podcasts 89, 135, 136, and 159 would be ones to look for. And then as far as the age progression work, we did mention that briefly, as was mentioned in this post, and we did a great series on that, numbers 164, 165, and 166. So three of them we got really into the detail about age progression work. Good. So if you don't have anything else to share about that particular issue, I want to bring it all the way back into full foo focus.
Before you go, I want to say, isn't she great? How organized she is, that she has all that stuff out there ready for you. That's why I'm glad I have Meredith here helping us out. And Meredith, of course, if there's anything you want to add to any answer that, you know, I put out there, please feel free to do that, because obviously if I didn't think you had, you know, great and wonderful things to provide to our audience, you wouldn't be here. So
I will, and absolutely I'm going to add to some of the answers for these upcoming questions.
Okay.
But we have a lot to get done, and I really want to get it all in, because a lot of this stuff we really haven't covered in detail before. So I'm going to move right on. And the next question is now, to kind of preface this a little bit, as part of the forgiveness of others process, one of the things that we do is have the client express the emotion, and we have them do it verbally, and then we also have them do it physically, having them pump it out of their body into a pillow. But sometimes people can't do that because maybe they have an arm injury, or they have arthritis, or maybe they just refuse to do that. Cal, how would you handle those situations?
That's a lot of different situations.
Yeah.
First of all, let me say, why do I have them express the emotion? And that is because, well, there's a couple of different things. One, you see, if I had anger in this hand, a pile of anger in this hand, and I had reason and logic in this hand, what's going to happen? anger is going to kick logic's rear end, okay? And so what we have to do is we have to get that anger expressed. We have to get it released so that we can go in with the 10 keys to forgiveness that Meredith mentioned earlier in an earlier episode, like two episodes again, in the first one in the series, where we can go in and then work with logic to provide insight so we can get the change. So the whole idea is not to hit the pillow per se, but to get them to express the emotion. So one, I like having them hit the pillow, but they could also, they could squeeze the pillow, they could rip up the pillow. Other things we can do is we can just ask them, I just ask the client, how brilliant is this? How else can you, in this round room, express your anger towards this person? And what we do is sometimes they want to throw mama from the train, you know, so to speak. Or they want to, you know, do some mean things. And, you know, it's just in their imagination. They've probably thought of these things anyway. And I'll have them live out that fantasy of getting back if that's what's necessary. I'm not so worried about the people that, you know, can't hit the pillow as the people that won't hit the pillow. Or they say, I won't do it, and then I give them the talk. And in fact, I was just with a client yesterday, it was a recent client, and she just said, I don't feel comfortable yelling at my whoever it was or hitting the pillow. And I just said, open your eyes and look at me. And I gave her the talk. And the talk, I said, I want you to think about everything. Well, first I say, I believe I can help you. I want you to think about everything you've done in the past to deal with this issue. I want you to think about what you're going to do if you fail to follow through with this one. I believe I can help you, but you have to follow my instructions. Decide. And then I get quiet. And that particular client said, well, I don't want to quit the sessions. And I looked at her in a very caring and confident way and said, decide. Because if I get into a conversation about this, then my client loses. She needs to be willing to proceed in the way that I know how to help her. She doesn't know how to help her way. I don't know how to help her way. Avoiding these emotions has not worked. And I believe that I can help my clients if they follow through with following my instructions. So sometimes I just have to give them a talk. And so far, that's worked every single time for me. I've had one or two people that said, no, I can't do it. And I said, okay, bye. And then they came back a week later ready to do it. And so I would give them the talk. So you can do other things with the pillow besides hit it. You can do really anything you want in that round room. You heard Meredith, I call the round room and really the work we do in hypnosis overall as the holodeck of the mind, which means it's like this hologram that we can walk into and do anything. You know, I could have her do anything that expresses the emotions in that round room. But it's got to be expressed. I've got to lower that emotional threshold, that energy, so that I can start going in with the 10 keys to forgiveness and start making a logical progression, a case for the forgiveness. And with that, we get her done. How's that, Meredith?
Good. And so, you know, in the process of going through the forgiveness work, we are having them express it verbally with words. We usually start out with that as we fill the platter of pain, as you call it, by having them express how it made them feel. You know, you hurt me when, you know, that made me think, that made me feel, those kinds of things. And then is there some component where you feel like it's important for them to go past that verbal expression and make it physical in some way, shape, or form?
Perfect.
Yeah. And so they can't, there are other things. I've had, because I do work with a lot of athletes, and unfortunately, along with being an athlete can come injury. And so I've had quite a few athletes come in with broken wrists or sprained wrists or some sort of carpal tunnel something. And, you know, they couldn't, hit the pillow. It would have been really disastrous for them to do that. And, you know, like you suggested, I will put it to them. If they're stumped, you know, like we always have to do with age regression with informed child technique, we always have to be prepared to back them up if they can't come up with anything themselves. And so, you know, sometimes kind of depending on the client, you go with your instinct in the moment. I've had clients blow it out, you know, imagine it visually coming up and out of their mouth and pushing it into the atmosphere. I've had people yell it out. If your office is such that it's soundproofed appropriately, that you can do that. I usually work really hard to make sure I have offices that are soundproof. You know, then that's appropriate as well. But there is a separate component, isn't there, Cal, of the verbal and then the kind of something that's more a physical manifestation.
As long as you can get them to really get it out and express it. And by the way, you guys watching this and those who are just listening, because I know some of you think, you know, why watch it? Because it's just people sitting at their desk and you just listen like on your iPod or whatever. If you've got some kind of cool way that we didn't mention to help your clients express their anger, leave a comment. We'd love to share it with everybody.
Great. Well, you know what, Cal? We are, again, out of time. Do we want to ask one more question, or we wanted to save that for our next episode? Because we have enough to fill another episode with foo.
Let's just wrap it up, because I think we're way over 20 minutes.
Yes, we are. All right, thank you guys for tuning in. Send me your what-ifs if you've got other suggestions as to how to pump out that anger in forgiveness of others. Definitely send those as well. My email, meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com. Join us on ourhypnospace.com, and you can post in the Ask Cal group. We're also on Facebook. We have a fan page there, Hypnosis Etc. And gosh, so many ways to reach us. It just goes on and on. Meredith Locker signing off.
And thank you, Meredith. This is Cal Banyan. Go to hypnosiscenter.com. Our schedule's there. Hey, I haven't mentioned it in a few episodes. Go to hypnosis.org. Hypnosis.org. We have a free Learn to Hypnotize video there. And we've got some other whole bunch of cool stuff like the e-zine and things like that. It's like Disneyland. You can't see it all in one day. That's it. Oh, over there, where do we have? Right there. Or wherever it is up there, you know, we have a schedule of upcoming classes. And over there, we have whatever specials we have going on. Check them out. That's it. Cal Banyan. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved for private use only. May not be duplicated without written permission.